Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
Welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today, we are quite pleased that we have Bishop Kevin Vann here to talk a little bit about the meaning of Christmas. So with that in mind, Bishop Vann, welcome.
Thank you very much.
You'd be so kind as to offer a word of prayer for us and our listeners, I would deeply appreciate it, and I'm sure they would as well.
Let us pray, Almighty and merciful God, we are yet in this season of Advent. Our scriptures for this Wednesday's Mass remind us, in the words of Angel Gabriel, nothing is impossible for God. Let us always remember that in our lives these days, as we prepare for the celebration of the birth of your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, Bishop Vann, first of all, I want to thank you so very much for coming in and talking a little bit. We, of course, are in the days just before Christmas. And with that in mind, it is so nice that you're able to come and talk a little bit about Christmas. You've been here for about 4 years in our diocese. And before we begin talking so much about Christmas, I'd like to ask you, in the 4 years now that you've been here, what stands out in the diocese that impresses you?
Yes, it was 4 years, December the 10th, so I'm in the end of my fifth year at this time. You know, one of the things that I reflect on for me here is just a practical sort of thing. In Texas, I had 25,000 square miles. Here, I have 750 square miles. So it's much easier, as it were, to be a lot of different places and to maintain contact with a lot of folks in parishes. So that's a blessing for me. In Fort Worth, I was blessed to experience different ethnic cultures, and that is certainly the case here in a big, big way. For example, yesterday morning, I had the celebration of Simbahan Gabi with a huge group of Filipino folks at Santiago de Compostela. It's a Christmas novena, 9 days preparation for Christmas. Then last night, that same day, I was with the Hispanic families at Immaculate Heart of Mary in Santa Ana. So it's just a great display of faith among so many different ethnic groups and families that are here from all over the world. It really is, I think, in many ways, a center of the Universal Church here. I mean, you get that sense. So that's a real blessing, the thing I enjoy. I enjoy that variety, being able to pray with so many different cultures and peoples. That enriches me in my faith and in my life.
You have a beautiful campus here. When I was growing up in right at the edge of Orange County, we passed by what used to be the Crystal Cathedral on a regular basis. Now it is being used as the center for diocesan ministry. I've also noticed that, like in the Tower of Hope here where we're broadcasting, you've got a number of different offices that serve so many different varieties of people and different needs that are in your diocese. What stands out for you in the diocese that the diocese itself offers in ministry that you see that we're doing well here?
I see in the people that I work with or in the people on campus here, the parishes as I go, a real sense of a welcoming, reaching out, sharing of faith, wanting to connect with a lot of folks at large, I think what I call a good sense of being mission-minded, not interior looking themselves, but how can we live out and bring the good news and reach out to as many people as possible? I really sense that with folks.
We are in the week before Christmas and only a couple of days before we get there. This is a time when a lot of people are reflecting joyfully on the coming of Christ. What do we as Catholics believe is the most important part of the Christian mystery at Christmas time?
I would go back really to what I would call the actual correct terminology for the day. It's the birth of the Lord, the nativity of our Lord, the incarnation, those sorts of things. That says what it really is. Christmas is an English word that comes from Christ's Mass. So the Mass that was celebrated on Christmas Day is Christ's birth is Christmas. They used to use that for all kinds of days, like St. Michael's Day used to have Michael Mass. So that's a great common parlance, but really, it is the nativity of the Lord. If you see an official liturgical program or in the Roman Missal, it's the celebration of the nativity of our Lord. That means the birth of Christ. That means on this day we understand and we remember how God is not distant, but he has truly come in our midst, lives among us, pitched his tent, as the original Hebrew says. So he's with us, and God is not far away, but in the midst of our daily troubles and trials. And that Christ was born in the most humble of circumstances, so he comes into all of our lives wherever we may be.
How is this different, or what is unique about our encounter with God from a Christian perspective? How is this different from other traditions?
I can speak to that in terms of my own experience, I guess. And this way, I lived in Italy for 4 years doing my graduate studies, and the Italians have a wonderful Christmas carol. In Italian, it goes, Tuscendi dalle stelle. It means you came down from the stars. So we believe and understand that God is not out there, but really it comes to meet us in our own lives through the birth of his son.
So when we're looking at other religious faiths, and these religious faiths are seeking a spirituality, they're seeking a direction out toward God. And the difference then for us is that while we're seeking out, Christ is seeking us, is coming to us.
I think you could say that. You know, you could have a whole course in comparative religions on that matter as
well.
Don't
want to go there right now.
You know, and it's also to recognize the good and what's true in other faith communities, other religions as well. But in fact, Christianity would be that God has come among us. And then we go toward God, but he has come among us. We don't have to go out there searching.
So this goes back to John's gospel and the Logos and the idea.
Well, the word made flesh and dwelt among us.
That we have.
And we have seen his glory.
That we have God to us, which is a whole unique understanding of what spirituality is.
Right.
That God has come to us imminently.
You know what is a great teaching tool and reminder that is? So, you know, the Christmas cribs that we have on our own homes that many of us grew up with, it's Nacimiento in Spanish, Presepio in Italian, but it shows us the people and the events, the places that were there. And really it was St. Francis of Assisi who really started that to help us get the sense that, yeah, Jesus came and born, was born among us in real people, real times, and a real place.
So St. Francis was the one who invented the crest scene, invents the wrong term to use, but began to use that as a metaphor.
The story is, yes, that he began that in a little town of Greccio in Italy. And therefore that his friars then, the Franciscan friars, carried that as their missionaries to all the world.
And so it's not just a matter of having some ethereal Jesus out there.
Yeah, it's not just some idea, but it is the event that really happened in a real person, real time and place, and real events and real people.
So Christ is real to us, and that's part of what Advent's all about.
Right.
That's part
yes.
of what Christ is come to us is all about.
Right. And then Advent is a whole beautiful thing in itself with its symbols and its colors and the purple, the rose, the candles, the wreaths, all those kind of things, and the prayers, the church's liturgy. Like this week, we are praying the O Antiphons, which are just beautiful. You know, we sing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel a lot, but that is really seven verses spread out over a week. That it is the verse prior to singing the Magnificat at evening prayer, and they're just majestic. They plead for God to come down among us using the Old Testament prophecies.
So the last 2,000 years of history have both been a blurring of the tradition, but also an enhancement in some ways. And so seeking back and plumbing a little of this has been helpful to us to reflect on the O Antiphons, to go back and look at the crest scene, to
yep.
bring some of those traditions into our home.
All those things. And for example, many of us had Advent calendars you could buy them. And you think you can still even get them at Starbucks, I think. You open one day, and there's a different thing to contemplate about Christ's birth.
We do that at our house. We have an Advent calendar that has little doors that you open. And
yes.
Little tiny little things that are in there. And some of them are just Christmassy things, but some of them, all of them, the kids know a song that goes with them. That's a Christmas song.
Yeah, and the Advent calendars really have their root in the church's liturgy and Advent.
Yeah. And the beauty behind that for the kids is that not only are they thinking about the coming of Christmas as the joy of Christmas in its non-Christian sense, I guess, but it also is a reminder as the kids are getting closer of the building that this is about Christ. This
yes,
is about the coming
yes.
of the Messiah. This is where we're coming into. For you then, if you're looking at traditions that have influenced you when you were a kid, what was probably one of the most poignant memories or clear memories that stands out for you that helps define for you what Christmas is when it comes each year?
Well, I can talk about that in a way that I talked about when I preached noon mass here for all of our folks here on campus. Everybody has their Christmas routines, and growing up in Illinois, which was cold and all those kind of things, I used to go out with my grandfather right after Thanksgiving and hang Christmas lights on his house, the big old bulbs, you know, those kind of things. And I had certain things that I would help my grandmother put up the Christmas decorations, and one of which was an old wax Santa and a wax snowman that they probably, as I said today, probably got at Woolworths or Kresge's or one of those places years ago. I mean, a long time ago. You know, as years pass, I don't know where all those things went. And 2 years ago, I was back in Springfield going through my parents' attic. My sister was cleaning the house out after their deaths. And there was a box, and I saw a couple of feet sticking up in this box. Well, by gosh, it was those wax figurines that my grandmother had years ago. They were getting ready to be thrown out. So I saw those. So I grabbed them for myself. I had them cleaned up. And I couldn't find them this year. You know, you put stuff away and then you can't find it the following year. But I found them. And so I cleaned them off and put them on a china cabinet that had been my grandparents'. And as I put that up there, I thought, how many times I put those things up there? All my grandparents' fireplace. And so I thought about them and thought about their faith and thought about going to their house on Christmas Eve. And not that you live in the past, but those memories suddenly become very present, which gives a reflection on the communion of saints and our faith, that those whom we love, those who taught us the faith, are never too far distant from us. And especially at this time of the year, which tends to really, in one way or another, kind of touch our hearts and our sentiments.
Well, you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Bishop Kevin Vann. And Bishop, I want to thank you for coming in. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Christmas and what it means for the people that you serve.
Sure.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope here on the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Bishop Kevin Vann. And Bishop, I want to thank you again for being here with us. We're talking a little bit about Christmas, since we've got a couple days before Christmas is here. And in this section, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about what you've experienced in your life, especially recently, maybe a little bit since you've been here at the diocese the last 4, now 5 years, mm-hmm. and what that means to you as we come to Christmas.
And I would just follow you by saying it is a beautiful day. It's very clear, you know, and you can see the mountains and a little bit of snow. One of my favorite experiences I had here, not long after I got here, almost 4 years ago, it was a day like this, and there had been a little more snow in the mountains at that time, but I love to go under the Orange Circle, where there's the fountains and all those things, all the Christmas decorations were up, and I could see the evergreens or the pines strung across the streets with the red ribbons, and in the distance, I saw the snow in the mountains. But yet the fountains were here and the orange trees, so just all at once, all that beauty all at once here that I was a part of made me very grateful that the Lord has brought me here, brought us all together at Christmas time. Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year. I'm a musician, so I like all the Christmas songs. One year I preached on a little bit about why Christmas, or I wrote about it because I said, you know, I look outside now, and I said, Irving Blinn wrote, not far from here, the sun is shining, the grass is green, the oranges and palm trees sway. I said, well, that's here. But this is the beauty that God has given us to be together, and we rejoice in God's creation. We rejoice in the birth of His Son these days. So, you know, the beauty here in Orange County is a great thing. Certainly, I have felt very welcomed by the folks here in every way. People say, well, how do you like California? And I say, well, you know, I love being in California because this is where I am. I never would have planned being here, but somehow in God's providence, I'm here. And I have felt very welcomed by the folks, and I've really tried with God's help to be part of their lives as a pastor and as a friend.
In the Diocese of Orange, I know that you've been well received. The mass that we had a couple of months ago now for the 40th anniversary for the diocese was absolutely beautiful. Well covered. I mean, it was covered on EWTN.
Yes.
Drones overhead with cameras.
Oh, I saw. I said, what are those things? I said, what's happening here? Oh, it was the drones covering it. Yes.
But it's interesting to see this huge cornucopia of people that are out there.
Yes.
Of all these different traditions that are going on in there. And yet, you know, we're talking now, just there's only three people in the room here. You mentioned Jimmy and myself and you, Bishop. From a personal perspective, have there been events, occasions, times, things that have happened in the last couple of years here that have really focused you as a Christian, as bishop, as into the call that you have in your life, especially as we're reflecting on this coming of Christ and what it means to all of us?
That's a good question. I have to think about that for a little bit. I mean, there have been so many events I've been at and been a part of. One of the things I do, for example, is I've done this for years as a pastor. I usually go to the hospitals on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, something like that. So I've kept it up again this year. And to be able to, in people's challenging moments in the hospitals and their suffering and in their struggles, just to be able to be there on these holidays where you're supposed to be at home. And if you're not at home, it's difficult to be in the hospital. Just to be there with them, to assure them in some way that Christ is there with them and pray for healing for them. So though I guess a lot of those personal experiences are some of the most powerful ones that I have had with folks, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have personal ones, you have big ones like the 40th anniversary, all kinds of those moments of encounters with Christ here.
You mentioned Simbangabe, which I think I just butchered the pronunciation of.
Yeah, that's pretty close, Simbangabe. Yeah.
The Filipino community is very important. There are other communities that have gone on. Has there been anything that you've experienced that's been truly new to you that really kind of made you stop and think for a moment, wow, that's a different way of looking at this?
I guess I would say, certainly, I knew the Filipino culture for a number of years before I came here. But yes, my first year to experience Simbangabe and experience El Santo Niño, that's still part of the Christmas celebration. Just the volumes of people there, the enthusiasm of their faith, the way they express it. I'm more of Irish heritage or something like that. I certainly love the Hispanics and know Spanish. But to experience that, really, our expression of faith and the enthusiasm and that relationship with Christ is something that really has meant a lot to me.
We have had a number of different communities that have come forward that have landed here in Southern California. So, of course, you've got a large English, Irish, white component, but it is intermixed with all these different ethnicities that have come in, especially the last 20 or 30 years.
Sure.
Or so.
Really, the face of the diocese is toward the east and the south in many ways. The east toward the Orient, mm-hmm. and the south toward Mexico, you know?
And we're seeing so much of that reflected in our church. It's so good to be able to see it here in a localized setting. And in the diocese, what are some of the things that you see that go on in the different parishes or in diocesan-wide that really approaches an incorporation or an accommodation to all of those different types of expressions?
One of the best experiences, I have many good experiences, but really, really recently this year, with the help of the Diocesan Pastoral Council, who's one of our big advisory groups, we had to look at renewing the pastoral plan in light of the 40th anniversary of the diocese. And so we had about, I think, three or four sessions with folks, had over 1,000 people involved in coming to those. And I was at three of the four. And it was not a gripe session. It was not axe grinding. It was none of that. It was people who really were joyful and really wanted to engage in their faith and really wanted to look forward, hopeful to the future. And it was really put easily in the process was two things. What are you grateful for and what do you hope for? And then as people said that, then they were recorded, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we got a document that really now serves as a frame of reference for the life of the diocese. It's not a mandate, but it's a frame of reference because that way you can respect the individuality of our parishes. But you know, things to look for, to hope for, to pray for, to grow in for each parish.
So this is more or less the diocesan plan.
Yes, the diocesan pastoral plan.
If you were, what would you say were the most important highlights of that? Because this is the first time we've really revisited an overall plan for the diocese in several years.
Yeah, I want to say at least 5 years, maybe. I think I'd have to check that. But again, for me, it was edifying just all the people that came and wanted to be part of it. And we were able to listen to that and take their reflections and really put it in a document that serves as a frame of reference for our pastoral life.
What's wonderful for those of us who are converts like myself, the outside looking in, the church traditionally was always viewed as a top-down organization. And what has become the reality of the church, especially in the experience I've had the last couple of decades, is how bottom-up it really has become.
And I would say the notion of what I call top-down is kind of a narrative That, in fact, is not really always the case, nor ever has it been. It's a mythology to some extent. Really, it is. I mean, my folks never thought about the church as being a top-down organization.
Well, no, I think a lot of it was a pejorative that came when we had difficulties a few hundred years ago in the overall church. You paint the other person, the other group, the way you want to.
Well, yeah, for example, a part of life in Europe to a great extent, but there's other parts of the world, has been what's called Catholic Action, where men and women have really been able to be engaged and make a difference in the life of the church, and that's been around for probably 60, 70 years, right around the time of the Second World War. There's a really growing, there's a big, what we call a big movement that's called, that I'm part of, called Focolare. And Focolare means hearth. It's men and women who really try to live the gospel to make a difference in the world around them and to bring the warmth and the love of Christ, and that's been around since the end of the Second World War.
Well, and that's something that I think at Christmas time is important for us to reflect on, that the body of Christ, all of the people that make up the body of Christ, really are that body of Christ, and it's been around for 2,000 years.
Right, right.
People think of history when they look at most secular history about things in the past. Well, Jesus Christ came, the Spirit was given to this group of people, and it's been passed on as one organism ever since. Individual cells die off. You and I are going to live and leave. But the church itself continues on, and it's always been an organism of everybody. I think it was James Joyce who once said,
here comes everybody. Well, that's a great saying. Yeah. I guess where I learned that was I lived in Rome for 4 years and studied in Rome. I got my doctorate in canon law when I was first ordained. And really, when you walk in Rome, and I love to walk in Rome, especially this time of year, you're really walking and living in centuries kind of all together. I mean, I had several walks I would do, one of which was to walk from the Dredger House, North American College, which was built over the ruins of the Roman Fire Department. And then you go there and you walk to the Piazza Navona, which is a great piazza in the middle of the city, which has people from all over the world there. It's on the Church of St. Agnes because she was martyred in the stadium of the Emperor Domitian, which is right below where that was. So you're with the saints and martyrs, the light and the darkness, the good and the bad, men and women of every time and place.
It sounds very exciting. I myself am studying early church history. And to look at the centuries of history, how it all plays out so well in Rome is a good reminder in a microcosm that this church goes back all the way to Jesus Christ and the apostles. These were ordinary human beings that were in charge of the church, not to in some way lord over, as Jesus made very clear, but to serve.
That's right.
And at this time of Christmas, it's a time for us to remember that our job is to bring Christ to those around us,
yes,
to serve. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Bishop Kevin Vann. And we're chatting a little bit about the meaning of Christmas and how that impacts our lives. And Bishop, when we come back, I'd like to shift gears a little bit because there are a number of people who are listening that have issues that have gone on in their lives or perhaps have not been to church in quite some time or perhaps have had things that have happened that have turned them away from active participation for one reason or another. I'd like us to visit them and ask you to talk a little bit about what Christ brings to them.
Sure.
So when we come back, we'll be back with Bishop Vann. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will be right. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, here high atop the Tower of Hope, where we have Bishop Kevin Vann talking to us a little bit about Christmas. And I don't want to lose the context of where we are. We've got people that are still rushing around trying to get Christmas presents. You can kind of lose the baby in the manger, as we say, to the need for Santa presents and a sleigh.
Right. Like me, I had to get to Rogers Garden Sunday morning between things because I got some gifts there.
It would be hard for you to get out, I would think, without being recognized at the local
area.
Well,
my schedule gets kind of – well, that really happens to me all the time now, which is fine. I'm grateful for that. But I was at Rogers Gardens. It even happens if I'm dressed regularly, you know. But no, I have a lot of things to do this week. I knew some people I need to see. I'm trying to plan out, you know, the things I need to go and do before Christmas Day, because then I have Christmas Day, I head out for a few days of vacation.
All of the people that are rushing around and doing different things kind of reminds me, though, that we've got real life that happened to people. And I know that a lot of the people that tune in to listen to Orange County Catholic Radio, some of them have had things that have happened in their lives that have been traumatic or difficult, or things that may have either frustrated them or kept them away from being in the church. So my question, I guess, is what does the baby in the manger really offer us that makes going back to church important?
Well, I would say peace and eternal life, you know.
That's a good one-sentence answer. Next question.
No, I mean, we all long for peace in our lives, especially in a challenging age where we find ourselves sometimes. When I was a seminarian many years ago now, the bishop at that time had this program called Come Home for Christmas. And he really, really pushed that every year. And I think in some ways, like I was talking about my grandparents earlier, sometimes this time of year can really open a window that maybe we have kind of closed the rest of the year with our emotions. The Christmas hymns, everything kind of touches our lives. And just to know that whatever has happened in one's life, whatever challenge you may be having right now, as I have, many of us have, that Christ is waiting for us to come into our lives again. So you're welcome. I'm always grateful to see so many people on Christmas. I know a lot of them are visitors, for sure. But we're here waiting for you, welcoming you. Please come and let the Lord touch our lives and touch your lives and be a part of us. You're welcome. Wherever parish you may want to find your way to, please come. And if you come to Holy Family Cathedral, where I'll be at midnight mass, or Christ Cathedral earlier, just come and say hi. I want to know that you're welcome, that the Lord is looking for you, and we're waiting for you to tell you that we love you. So,
I've had some issues with my own children's health over the last few years. Talking to a priest, I was in confession, and I was talking to him about the sensitivity of how difficult it is to watch your child suffer. I remember his comment at the end almost angered me. It was, God has blessed you so much. And it took me a little bit to realize that he was referring to the great growth that sometimes difficulties can bring. But generally, and he was quick to throw this back in, how fortunate and blessed that I was to go through those difficulties in the context of being in church, of being with people that can help guide that growth.
Right.
This is a good time to reflect on that and perhaps to get a fresh start on turning those around, don't you think?
To do that and without relying on kind of trite things. But, for example, St. Paul has a wonderful phrase, all things work to the good for those who love God. I was with a family not too long ago, and I can't say anybody who I'm close to, and there's major illness in their family now. They told me, we're worried, but this has been an opportunity for us that we never would have had otherwise. That's what they told me. And that we know we have hope. We know that God is here amidst all these struggles. They said, we don't know what we would do if we didn't have our faith. You know, and so faith is nothing that's meant to kind of pull us down, but to give us a perspective, an idea of the presence of God, and really something to lean on when times are difficult.
We have a community here that just a year ago was grieving in the shock of what happened in San Bernardino. We've had a number of things that have happened in the world that have been very disturbing for people. What message would you have for people who are scared?
You know, life is full of paradoxes and challenges. Regarding that very instance you were talking about, that very day that happened, at least a couple of those people were from here that were killed, especially young Vietnamese.
I had a good friend of mine who was one of
those. So when I got that particular day or right after or someplace along the way, if you want to talk about contrasts, I called my friend Dr. Siddiqui over at the Islamic Center in Garden Grove.
Siddiqui,
he's a good man. So he said, can you come over and see us right now? He asked me. So I did. And I just addressed them and assured them of my friendship in the midst of this, all these difficulties, that I was praying with them and all of them because I knew that they were suffering too. And then after that, you know where I left there? I left there with Father Bin, who was my secretary. And then I went then to the wake of one of the women who was killed. So I did that within 2 hours.
Wow.
Or 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it was together. But I felt I was being sent to be some kind of a reminder that in the midst of all this tragedy, God is here among us.
Well, and it's an important reminder that for all of us, whenever we have a tragedy like that, it's not just the individuals that were directly affected, but as you point out, the Muslim community was not only shocked, but it had to be gravely disappointing for them that they would be somehow associated with the groups that have taken a form of their religion and have twisted it so that it has come out in actions like it has.
Very much so. You know, I had a very profound experience the other night. I was invited to be a guest at the Islamic Center in Costa Mesa, where I met Imam Mustafa. And he preached about those very things, so the folks that were gathered here, and thanked me for coming, and the priests who were with me for coming. And then I got up and spoke. And he had preached on, talked about, because the Muslims revere Mary very much, so he had preached on Luke's gospel, the Annunciation scene. So I started my remarks by doing that as well. And I said, which I did today at Mass, I said, there's three phrases in that gospel. Do not fear, nothing is impossible for God. I said, that's the words for us right now.
Those were the words that were important for John Paul II.
Yes.
Be not afraid. And that's something that I think that when we look at Christmas and we look at this time, despite the fact that we have individual issues, and many in our listening audience have so many heartaches and pains, that Christ's message to us is that I have overcome the world. Whatever issues you've got, I could take on, and be not afraid.
Yeah, do not be afraid. And it's so easy to let everything else kind of inflict that on our lives, but fear never has to be the last word. The Lord says, do not be afraid. The angel Gabriel said, do not be afraid. And we have to have that, read that gospel every day and kind of look at it and see ourselves and say, okay, I can have courage. I know Jesus is with me, and I can face whatever I can and find somehow God's purpose in the midst of all this.
What a lot of people, I don't think, realize is that they may be being used at this moment by God himself to bring that same message to people around us. I know that for a lot of us, we're not aware sometimes of how our own actions, how our own words, how our own presence can sometimes be deeply influential on people just simply by being present with them.
Right.
As Pope Francis has said, to accompany people is such an important part.
Yeah, to journey with them, yes.
And that if we are called to be not afraid, it's also to not be afraid to be Christ to those around us.
Yeah. I think this week, with everything running around that we have to do, to find somehow, and I'm going to do that this afternoon myself, just find some time just to breathe, have some silence, as Pope Francis said last week, and just take one of those scriptures and let that speak to us right now.
For those that are grieving then, those that are in a time period they never thought that Christmas would be associated with something that would be sad, what would be the best piece of advice you would have for them on how they can get past being afraid?
You know, I've been a pastor now, a priest for 35 years, pastor most of those years. I've walked with a lot of folks in times of tragedy and grieving, all those kind of things. I remember around Christmas time when I was a pastor, one of the things I had to do was to go to a woman in the parish whose husband had been killed in a truck accident, and I had to tell her that. I was there with the coroner. You know, that was kind of around this time of the year. But and eventually, you know, she really was able to get her feet back on the ground. She said she always missed her husband, but she found new meaning, new purpose in her life later on. And so it's a matter of seeing beyond the challenge of the present moment and just to keep going forward, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. As Father Sarah would say, always go ahead, siempre adelante. You know, one of the more profound experiences I had just 2 years ago around this time was that my father passed away, and I was able to be with him when he passed away. And so that was I've been with a lot of folks in their families that passed away, but that was real personal for me. But to be able to stay with Dad as he had gotten up with us so many times, and then to be with him toward the end, and as he passed away, I said, okay, Dad, it's midnight. I said, you're a Navy veteran. I said, go anchors away, you know, go ahead. And Mom's waiting. But that was a great sadness for me. But since then, I've been able to kind of think of my folks a lot and really carry that message of what I learned in my time with him, that he was suffering, he had been sick, but he wasn't alone, and we were with him and supported him. And we all prayed together when he passed away. So,
which meant that his passing, his last moments, were not only important for him, but they were important for you as well.
Sure.
This is one of the things that I think people forget about suffering, is that your suffering may not be just for you. It may be to bring people that are around us. It's one of the reasons why we don't believe that we should end life artificially.
Exactly. That time for us, as with so many other families I've seen, with Dad, gave us a chance to be together and pray together and support and reach out in a way that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And to really tell Dad that we loved him and we were with him and that maybe we hadn't done so.
And that's an important message that I think that our church brings, that you are never alone.
Right.
Therefore, be not afraid. There are people that will journey with you. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Bishop Kevin Vann. And Bishop, I want to thank you so much for being here. We've got one segment left.
You're welcome.
And in that time, I would like us to have you give us what you think are the most important things that people can take with them as they come into Christmas Day. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the beautiful Tower of Hope here on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And with me today is Bishop Kevin Vann. And Bishop, I want to thank you. This is our last segment together, and this is a time when we have to be able to ask you as bishop and therefore pastor of the Diocese of Orange, what advice would you give to those who are listening? I mean, you have an opportunity here where it's just you and the people in the car, the people in the kitchen who are listening to the radio. What thoughts would you have for them practically to encounter Christ a little more deeply in this Christmas?
I would say these last days of Christmas, but also remember Christmas really is 12 days, you know. That kind of gets lost in this country, but in a Catholic country, Christmas really continues until the Epiphany, which is January the 6th, which is really in most countries the gift-giving because the Magi brought the gifts. So how can we find some Christmas reflection or reading these days that really we can find that 1 minute to really reflect? From Scripture, I would certainly go to St. Matthew and St. Luke's Gospels. Those contain the stories of the birth of Christ, each from their own point of view. Pope Benedict XVI, you may recall, wrote 3 different volumes on the life of Christ, as a scholar and as a pastor. The smallest one is, in fact, about the birth of Christ, the little blue one. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good one to read.
It is.
He explains very well about what would be called the infancy narratives, but Matthew and Luke's narrations. Also, I found a book called Christmas with the Fathers of the Church, which, in fact, would be sermons about the birth of Christ all through the ages.
Oh, wow.
So that's worthwhile. Ignatius Press has a number of little books reflecting a lot of what Pope Benedict spoke about and taught in his years as a pope. He has a great way of making faith very clear, even in a very simple terms. So he wrote at least several books about Christmastide and the Christmas season. So those are books I would really kind of recommend. They're not long and they're not heavy, and they're really devotional.
Ignatius Press, I think, even has dedicated itself to wanting to publish as much of Cardinal Ratzinger / Pope Benedict's material as possible.
His audience talks were just wonderful. Yeah. They're very profound and very deep. And so I would go and see if you could find, go to Ignatius Press website or see if you could find some of the little publications about Pope Benedict's Reflections on Christmas. They're really easy to read, and they're beautiful. You know, the season of Christmas, Advent Christmas, is a season of beauty. It really is. And so beauty draws to God. So I would say to be able to pray for and look for beauty someplace in some unexpected way this season, and know that the Lord will bring that to you.
I think that a lot of us can lose sight of the reasons why we decorate. And it's about enhancement of the beauty that we have around
it
us.
It is.
So if we have a house that we are living in, we want to put some lights on it perhaps in order to enhance the beauty that we have of living there. When we go off to places like up in Riverside at the Mission Inn and the Festival of Lights they have up there, or down along the beaches where they have different places, the idea is to be reminded that this is beauty that's come into the
right.
world.
Beauty, and beauty especially in the Northern Hemisphere in times when the days are shorter. I mean, that's coming up. I laugh. I love Christmas lights. I used to help my grandfather put them up every year. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be putting Christmas lights on palm trees going up in the Midwest. But to see all that, and I have all my Christmas decorations out in the house now, and I'm going to have people in and during these days, because I think those lights somehow really touch our hearts and lift us, which is really who Christ is. He's the light of the world, and touch us in our dark and challenging moments.
And I think that's one of the things that people don't associate sometimes in the modern times as to the history of where this all came from. We don't know the exact date when Jesus was born. We really have no idea on that. But the 25th of December is just a couple days after the shortest day of the year, the longest darkness, the longest night of the year. Light has come back into the world. And it's a time to remember that light is coming into the world, and once it enters, it grows.
It really was only 200 or 300 years after the time of Christ that that date was really fixed and established. And contrary to what the Da Vinci Code would have said years ago, it really was an effort then to see, okay, the light was coming back. So in fact, because the days got longer, so really Christ is the light of the world who comes into our lives. Just as a reminder of that.
It is. And that's something that I think that all of us can take with us from a practical perspective, is that, and my brother who lives up in Portland could tell you, the days are quite a bit shorter up there right now
yes.
than they are down here. And that you do take notice just a couple of days after the winter solstice. Yeah, the light is beginning to come back.
Just a little bit at a time.
So that when you get up in the morning, sunset's coming, our sunrise is coming a little bit quicker than it did before.
Well, I mean, that's why certain church feast days were set that. For example, let me see if I get this right. The celebration of the birth of St. John the Baptist is about June 24th. Well, did he not say, I must decrease, so he must increase? So June 24th, around there, is the summer solstice when the light is at its peak. So then it begins to get shorter
You're
after
absolutely
that.
Absolutely right.
So the birth of John the Baptist, and he begins to decrease, so the light of Christ can increase. That's why that feast day was established at that time.
Yeah, it's interesting. We don't do a lot of talking about it, but just the fixation of Easter, the early church at Victor and all that whole thing, but the idea of fixing it based on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox, the idea that we are now entering into this time of new life. And in a way, when we think about Advent and we think about Christmas, that contrast is really there as well, but from a positive perspective, that new life is beginning,
right.
That we have that coming into our calendar.
That's right. And another thing you could think of, I have some good friends of the Jewish faith. You know, they will soon be celebrating Hanukkah, which, in fact, this year coincides with Christmas.
Christmas Eve.
If you want to understand Hanukkah, you have to read the Book of Maccabees. And look how those folks were very courageous in the midst of oppression. And when they were able to stand up for themselves at great cost, and they could reclaim the temple, then the lights burned again. That's why you have the seven nights and all that, you know?
God provided the oil for the light not to go out.
Right.
That's a very important message at Christmas time for us as
well.
And
it's for us as well. I think that's why it's a great thing for us here in Orange County. If you go down the old town, the old circle, you have the nativity set on one side, and you have the menorah on the other side.
And that's important for us to remember, that we are to be the body of Christ.
Right.
We are now that light in the world. That when the Spirit was given in Pentecost 2,000 years ago or so, that has never gone out and, in fact, has flourished. But it flourishes through us.
Right. And I would say, in the midst of all the many things going on, as I said, take a moment. But really, Christ came into the world to bring us light, to bring us eternal life. Who are the people in our lives who have shown us that? And then do we understand that really every day we're sort of sent on a mission to do that very same thing for people who we might not have ever thought about, who cross our ways?
Well, and you were mentioning that in your life, your grandparents, just some of the simple things like putting lights up every year were things that stood out for you over the years as just a small but important, a subtle reminder of who Christ is come to us in the people around us.
Yes.
We don't know in the Congress of our minds who we are, that little bit of Christ to, but we are.
Yes.
And we can have faith that God is doing that for us and to us.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to thank you, Bishop, for coming in and for spending some time with us to talk a little bit about the meaning of Christmas. You have a wonderful opportunity here in this land with so many tools and so many people to be able to bring that light. And I thank you for sharing a little bit of your time
with
us.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoy coming on the radio.
And it's what's wonderful about having some time to reflect on Christmas and the idea that Advent comes into Christmas, we anticipate the coming of Christ, and then he's here, is that indeed we have that light with us. And it's not just something that's out there when we think about like the second coming of Christ. Yes, we will encounter Christ again. And that's the reminder we have when Christmas finally is here. We do get to encounter Christ.
Yes, yeah.
Come to us. If you would be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer and then a blessing for all of us that are listening, I'm sure our audience would be greatly pleased.
Let us pray, Almighty God, in these days when we have so many things upon us, show your face and your life to us. As we give thanks for the gift of your Son, may we look at him at his birth, surrounded by the shepherds and the angels and the magi and everybody with Mary and Joseph, and know that we are there with all the people that surround him, and that he looks at us and gives us his light and tells us to come follow him and take that light he shows to us from his face and his birth to share with the world around us. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And would you like to give us your blessing?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you and keep you always, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With us today has been Bishop Van. Bishop, thank you again for being with us. And as you go through the rest of your week and days, please remember that Orange County Catholic Radio is a great blessing that God has given. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you now at Christmas and into the new year. May God richly bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.